And so this morning we'll actually see where that is in Scripture. So as we send our kids off, let's pray for them. Father God, we thank you for our kids. We ask that you would just be with them, Lord, that you would bless them this morning, and they would see the importance of being united, united under your name. We gather together in the name of Jesus, standing behind your word. And as we talked even last week about religion, Lord, and how dangerous it can be, Lord, we're not here to seek religion. We're here to seek relationship. And as we see in our verses today, that we are baptized into you and you into us, and you become part of us. And that's uniting, Lord. So we ask that you would just fill us overflowing today with that spirit of uniting one of us together in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can head on down. All right, so we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And if you remember, this is coming off of that very big, diverse topic of the spiritual gifts. And it can be very confusing. And there's a lot of different interpretations. There's a lot of different views with spiritual gifts. And that's just one topic of many through the book of Corinthians, or the letter of Corinthians, that speaks of division. And it's very important for us to understand that that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to divide us. And often, you see that within the church. We often look at the spiritual battle that we're engaged with as an outside of the church battle. Well, I'll tell you, the enemy already has the world. We are the sojourners, we are the citizens of heaven living here in another world. Understand that. And so the battle is out there, yes, but more importantly, it's right here within the church, where the enemy wants to cause division. Division looks different. It comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, all kinds of smells and looks and all kinds of stuff. It can be as simple as, well, I can't believe you bought Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I like Folgers. Okay, great. I can't believe that you drink coffee during church. That's an abomination. Really? Where? Well, this is the temple. No, it's not. The Bible says you're the temple. So if you're worried about coffee being in the temple, you better stop drinking it. You're flooding the temple. It's serious. You don't believe me. It sounds funny, but it happens. The bread that we get via donation every weekend can be a point of division. And it's not supposed to be. The wonderful worship music we have can be a point of division. Well, I think there should be drums. Some people say, oh, there shouldn't be no guitar. Oh, the tempo's too fast. It's too slow. We need more hymns. Let's just worship God. I mean, the Bible, it doesn't speak of anything like that. Or maybe even the teaching or the chairs, you know. It's silly, but it happens because it's a spiritual battle within the church. And when we get to the topic of spiritual gifts, it's like division amplified. Because I want your gift, and you want my gift, and you aren't doing your gift good enough. And now I'm scared of gifts. Well, I don't believe in the gifts. And then I misuse the gifts. And it just gets into this big mess. And throughout that whole portion of spiritual gifts, there was a key word. It's one Spirit. It's one God. It's unity, 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 unity. These spiritual gifts are given to different people at different times as God wills for the profit of the church, not for the division of the church. And so as he closes that out, he's going to give us an illustration that we can relate to with our body. Our body being this physical body that we have a hand and we have a foot and we have an eye and we have an ear and we have a nose and a mouth, and you can go on and on and on and on. even down into the internal organs that we don't even realize maybe their function or how important they are. And then if we lose something as small as this little tiny thing, how it just disrupts everything. In fact, when your body isn't working correctly as it's designed to work, we call that either diseased or handicapped. And now when we look at somebody who is handicapped or has a disease, we can understand that. Oh, that person's foot isn't working, or that person's foot is missing, or that person doesn't have eyesight or hearing or whatever it may be. We can understand that. But then when we look at the church as a body and we go, oh, the foot's missing because everybody wants to be the mouth or everybody wants to be the eyes, well, then in that same concept, the body of Christ, which is the church, is now handicapped. So these spiritual gifts God gives us, and we can't claim them. I can't say, well, today I have the gift of tongues. Today I have the gift of healing. Today I have the gift of prophecy. Not in context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there are ministerial gifts, which we'll talk about. These are the manifestation gifts. And if you claim to be able to conjure up the Holy Spirit and manifest or display the Holy Spirit upon your call, then the Bible is lying to us when it says, as He wills, He distributes. And so at one point, you might have the gift of tongues or the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy, or as the list goes on, you might have that. But that doesn't mean you can claim that every time. Again, there is a difference between the manifestation gifts and the ministerial gifts. The ministerial gifts, that is how we function within the church. And some of us do have the gift of teaching, and some of us do have the gift of administration. That's different. So please don't cloud the two. In this context, it's talking about these gifts. It's for the profit of all. And when we hinder God using us in that way, we just lost a foot. And so it's vital that when we read in there, listen, don't forsake the gathering or the assembly of the saints. What that means is listen, don't forsake coming together as a church, as a body. There's a reason why we come together. And it's not out of obligation or it's not out of works, right? It's out of us being part of the body of Christ. And we come together for the profit of everyone. See, sometimes people think, well, I can't go to church because I'm going to be a distraction. Maybe you've got some kids that, you know, got an extra dosing of sugar for breakfast, and they're like off the walls. Bing, 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 bing. And you go, oh my goodness, I can't go to church. I can't go there because my kids will be such a distraction. I can't bring them. That's the wrong thinking. That's the enemy causing division. Even if you have to come and gather up your children and hold on to them tight, or maybe even go downstairs, you might be thinking, well, I'm not really participating in church anyway. That is not true, because you're here. How do you know that that person you pass, either downstairs or up here, or that little conversation you have, or you that glance and that smile, maybe even out in the parking lot, changes somebody's day? Why? Because God is using you for the edification of that other person. And if you check yourself out and think you're a distraction or a hindrance to the church, then that wasn't possible. Remember, how do you get used by God? With these manifestation gifts, you got to be willing. You got to be available. And then the last one is able. Well, the able one's easy. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're able. You don't have to go to a special ministry school to learn to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. Sounds crazy, but they're out there. Come to our camp. We've got a week-long camp of how to use your spiritual gifts. how is that possible when they're gifts from God? God's going to show me how to use them. God's going to demonstrate them in my life. I don't need to go be taught by man for God's spiritual gift. That's what makes it a gift. So you're able if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you willing? Well, that's faith. Well, faith tends to be the hard part. We want to take faith and we want to divide it up as if there's different types of faith. Right? But it's the same faith. The same faith that brings you into salvation through Jesus Christ, and that is believing that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and that you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. That same faith, listen, none of us here saw that. None of us here were eyewitness to that. None of us even have relation within our family that saw that. But why do we believe it? Because God gives us the faith. And then we read in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And then Romans 1:20 says, in creation we can see His attributes. We can see that there is a God. And then we put all those together and go, oh, I believe that there's a God and I believe that Jesus died for me. That's faith. And so it's the same faith that led you into salvation that leads you into these spiritual gifts. Well, I believe God's going to give them to me at His will. Maybe He decides not to today. Maybe He will today. I don't know, but I'm willing. I'm able. Oh, and then I'm available. What does that mean? You're there. You're there. You're part of the body. Maybe you're the foot. And you didn't come to church. Well, here we are hobbling along today. But we have this idea that we are the hindrance to the church, or that the church doesn't need us. Listen, we need you desperately because God has gifted you to be that unique piece of the puzzle that puts the total picture of Sun Country together. You have any puzzles at home? And you lose that one piece? And you're just like, really? We're so close to being complete. And it's that one piece. Or you go buy a piece of furniture and they give you all the parts and you're missing that one piece. And we never lose it. It's always the factory's fault, just saying. Okay? Us guys, we don't lose anything. They misplaced it maybe in the box and then put it where it's supposed to be. Instructions, who needs those? But you see, you're so close, and you're missing that one piece, and it just doesn't quite look right, just doesn't quite work right, just doesn't quite feel right. And that's what we are to the church when we don't come. It's so important. So guys, we got to lose that thinking that we are a hindrance to the church, and we got to start remembering that God, by divine appointment, has called you to be here, not only so that you would grow up and seek God and grow in His grace and knowledge, but that you would be used by Him. Did you know that God wants to use you? And He can't use you if you're not here. And then the enemy comes in, he's like, oh, well, you're no good. God's not going to use you. I saw what you did last night. I saw what you said to that person. I saw that outburst of wrath. You're not really a Christian. God's not going to use you. That's the enemy causing that division. You know when God saw that outburst of wrath? That bad thought that you had? That we'll call it sin. You know when He saw that? He saw that 2,000 years ago when He willingly went to the cross and paid for it. So He knew it was there. Paid in full. Listen, there's none righteous, no, not one. And if we ever get to the point to think, well, you know what? I have to live this great life in order to participate. We all might as well all go home right now. Might as well. We just got to live real. Be real and understand that His grace is sufficient. Amen. But listen, church, if you ever think that you're not needed here, We need you desperately. And it's biblical. Let's check it out. Verse 12, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is this therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has sent the members, each one of them, into the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, and that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in churches, first apostles, second prophets, teachers. And we'll pause there because now we're getting into the ministerial gifts, which we'll talk about next week. But in between these gifts, he's making this allusion to the body. And, you know, really there's not a lot of explanation that needs to happen here because it's pretty clear. As we read through that, we understand that there's one body and we're united together, one Spirit, one Christ, and we are part of that. Very important to understand. The problem, especially when dealing with church, with dealing with spiritual gifts, with even dealing with coming, is we begin to think, we are insignificant. Oh, I don't have that great part. You know, I don't really do anything. You know, the church, if I were to disappear and just walk away, they wouldn't miss me. Yeah, we miss you dearly. Maybe because we don't seek you out or go hunt you down, it doesn't mean you're not missed. That analogy of the body is a perfect one. And I love the part where it says, he who thinks he's insignificant really is the greatest of them all. You see, the people that have the mouth, that get up and teach, the people that have the voices, that get up and sing, and we think, oh, we could never be like that. That's the most important job. We just read, the Bible says, You know what the most important job is? Is the people who work behind the scenes. You know, when you put a piece of furniture together or a piece of, you know, woodworking together, You see the pieces, the parts, the boards, correct? But what you don't see, one of the most important parts, is the glue that holds those pieces together. And without that glue holding those pieces that we all see together, there is no piece of furniture. There is no unity. And so that's the most important part. Because if I built you a chair and I didn't secure it together and you tried to sit on it, what would happen? Fall apart. And so what Paul is saying is, even though you don't have a place maybe up front, you're very important. Maybe you're the prayer warrior. And by the way, everyone should be the prayer warrior. Maybe you're the one that cleans the place up. Maybe you're the one that makes sure that, you know, you're going to get the bread that weekend. Maybe you're the one that's back there pushing buttons or setting up the internet. And it, you know, and that's a great example. Let's just take a field trip right there for a second. Hopefully you got your seatbelts and your steel-toe shoes on, because here it comes. We had a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks. We had a lot of people texting me, calling me, coming up, tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, Facebook's not working. Microphone's not working. Here's what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm like, we're trying our best, guys. You know, if you think you have a better idea, hey, come on, help us out. Oh, no, I don't have time for that. Come help us push buttons. Oh, no. I'm not willing to put the work in. I just want to criticize you and tell you how you're doing it wrong. But it's in love. Thank you. I need lots of love like that. And it's like, you know, you don't think we know there's a problem? We're trying our best. We're limited. But again, guess what? That's a perfect example of us trying to walk around on one foot, because we desperately need more help back there. And it's not significant. No. But it's vital. I want you to understand something. I see the numbers of people who watch the Facebook thing. Hundreds. And you think you're back there, not really doing much, right? Oh, I'm just pushing the button, whatever. Oh, nobody's watching today. But then you look a week later and you're like, whoa, all these people watched that. And you know what that is? That is God using you to advance his kingdom. And you don't think you're doing anything. It's amazing, isn't it? And that's where God's going to say, you know, that little thing that you did back there, just kind of pushing some buttons, making sure everything was right, didn't really seem to be important. Let me show you how many people got saved because of that. And you're going to be like, whoa. And I'm going to be up there going, Lord, man, I gave this great message. And I preached the word, and he's like, yeah, nobody got saved. Just an example. But it's vital. The enemy wants to tell you you're not needed. The enemy wants to tell you you're not significant. The enemy wants to tell you you're not important, that you're just a distraction, that God's not really using you. He is. How do you know that day you came to church, not really feeling it, right? And then somebody said something to you, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, you put that in your back pocket, and then later on that week you're talking to somebody, and you just kind of regurgitate that, and that changes that person's life. You see, I'm a firm believer that God works in that stillness, in that small voice. Does he showboat? No. I mean, are there times where he opens seas, he swings jail cells open, he miraculously heals people? Yes, yes, and yes. But more times than not, I think he works in our lives and he leaves it up to us to go, huh, I think that was God. And I see him working in these little ways. And just by you being here smiling at somebody is being part of the body. Just being here, going up and saying, hey, how are you doing? And if they're truthful and they're like, yeah, I'm not going so good right now. Well, let's just pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. Listen, prayer is just talking to God. And just pray for that person and ask God to help them. Or maybe you go up to somebody and you're like, hey, my life's great right now. Oh, well, let's pray. Let's thank God that things are good. Because we've all been in times of bad, haven't we? And that little thing right there would change your lives, right? Prayer is huge. And that's why we put more of a focus on it. I mean, it was kind of fun. For 10 years, we sang happy birthday, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, why don't we pray for somebody? Duh. I mean, people are kind of bashful to come up for their birthday. It happens every time, right? We got the, I'm hiding, nobody sees me. Oh, it's my birthday, I'm not going to come to church today. It's okay, we'll go next weekend. Oh, I'm not going to come then either. We'll get you next month. My birthday was a month ago. Oh, but you tried to ditch it. But now, when we're praying for you, listen, I mean, maybe you don't like the attention of someone singing happy birthday to you, but listen, when somebody prays for you, it charges your spirit, guys. There's something about it. It's like, man, yes. That is incredible. So, I'm not going to really go through a lot of this because it's pretty self-explanatory. And I don't want to take that for granted, but it's pretty clear. And the takeaway is this. God wants us together. This spiritual family that is right here is something you're going to take with you into heaven. It's something that you can use daily to lean upon, right? When one member hurts, the whole body hurts. Have you ever had a transient pain? You know what that is? Like your back is hurting, but it's really like an injury down here and you're glued to your hamstring. And you're like, why is my back? And we're doing all this back treatment stuff. And it's like, no, if you just loosen up down here, it goes away. Okay? It's what they call a transient pain where the injury's here, but it hurts somewhere else. Guess what? When you're hurting and we don't know about it, we're feeling that pain somewhere else. We're like, what's going on over here? What's happening? And little do we know that it's somebody within our church that's hurting that's not saying anything. But that's what the body's for, right? We come together and we lift each other up, and that's why it's important. Listen, we got to put down our pride. Got to put down our pride and stop pretending like we have perfect lives. I'm going to tell you, I don't have a perfect life. No way, you know? That's the problem with this social media garbage. Because everybody posts all the highlights of their life on there. And then everybody compares to it. And they start thinking, well, I want a life like that. Little do you know, their life's a wreck. You don't want their life. And so we got to get to the point to go to those trusted people and say, yeah, it's not going so well. And, you know, if you don't feel comfortable sharing with somebody, that's okay. We're not going to, like, hog tie you down and interrogate you. What's the problem? Just say, hey, I got some issues. Just pray for me. Okay, great. Let's do that. And then maybe God will use that gift. You'll pray in tongues and you'll pray in the Spirit, where the Spirit will pray to God the unspoken word. Maybe. But we have to do that. Get real. You know, that's the problem, I think, with churches today. It's not real anymore. Listen, we're hurting. There's pain within all of us. There's loss. There's suffering. The Bible tells us that's to be expected. But we have a hope that one day it's all going to go away. And we gather in that hope, in that faith, that we don't live in this life now to be fulfilled here, that our hope is in heaven. And we're going to go, and all those tears are going to be wiped away, and those pains are going to be gone, and those struggles we have here on earth are going to be dealt with, gone, no more. And that's why we tarry. And that's what brings us back to God's word, to God's love, to God's grace, God's mercy, and collectively to God's body. So church, you ready to get real? To get real with our faith? You ain't fooling nobody. I'm not fooling nobody. God knows where we're at. You know what he desires? He doesn't desire that tithe and that offering. He desires that broken, contrite heart. And that's what he wants you to bring today. And so as we close, we need to understand. It's a little short message today in honor of Mother's Day, because I know you guys got to get to those barbecues before the rain comes. But understand that we need each other. You're important. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says you're insignificant. In fact, you know what? Don't even look at yourself through anybody's eyes except through Jesus' eyes, who said, "What I see when I look at you is I see my precious creation that I gave my life for." And that's what grace is, and mercy. So much that he stepped out of eternity, even when we weren't seeking him, even when all of our sins were before him, he says, "I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take your place." And in this passage that we read today, all of this stuff, the one body, is in Christ. And so when we see Christ crucified, we see him placed in the tomb, and then we see him on the third day risen. And when God looks at you, he sees, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the risen Christ in you. And that's how he views you. That's how he sees you. That's how important you are to God. So don't ever listen to the lies of the enemy. And so today as we leave, as we close, and I know Dave's going to come up and share a little bit with you, and then we're going to do a few more songs. But I want you to really know that God loves you so much. And he's glad you're here, and he wants to use you. And if you don't know him, salvation is between you and him. And so as we close, I'll give you an opportunity to pray to him, to receive him as your Lord and your Savior, so that you can be part of this body. Now, it doesn't mean that once you become saved, all your pains are going to go away. Doesn't mean that all your relationship issues are going to go away. Doesn't mean that you're going to get on, you know, your bank account and see that it's overfloweth. Nope. But you know that you're saved. You know that when you take your last breath here on this earth, you're going to step into eternity and you're going to live with him forever, where those promises will be fulfilled. That is our hope. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the mothers that you have given us, Lord. And even if we've had a bad mother's, Lord, because some people look at days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and go, "You know, I didn't have the greatest mother. I didn't have the greatest father." And that's just unfortunate. But we still offer forgiveness. And we look to you as the author of our faith. Not necessarily the example of an earthly person, but we look to you. And so, Lord, even if we had a bad experience growing up with a bad mother, Lord, we forgive them. And we ask that you would just fill our hearts with just peace and grace and forgiveness. And Lord, for those of us that had good moms, we thank you for them. What a blessing it was to have them. Father, as we close out today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to those in whom you are calling today. We are told that
Jesus' desire is that no one would perish. And he considers you so important that if you were the only person here ever to exist on this earth in need of a Savior, he would have died on the cross for just you. And this morning, the Lord's knocking on your heart. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner, and I need you. I believe that you put yourself on the cross in my place, that you willingly are taking on my sins. I ask for your forgiveness of sins, and I give them to you. I believe that you died in my place, and on the third day, you rose again, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says that if you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you are saved. So I would encourage you to tell someone. They can help you walk into faith. Father, I thank you for today. As we close, we thank you that you have given us the rain that's going to come. We thank you that you have given us this place to gather in. And we thank you for the salvation of Jesus Christ, in which all these things are possible. It's in his name we pray. Amen.